This is Dodger Talk, David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. The phone number, as you know it, 866-987-2570. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment, but we are joined by a very special guest, and I always love bringing in people from different walks of life that are not necessarily sports media people or athletes, but are fans and do different jobs. And this guy is a huge Dodger fan, even though he's on the East Coast doing a great job moderating the show Meet the Press. If it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press, and we're joined and lucky enough to have Chuck Todd on Dodger Talk. Chuck, thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for asking. It's this is the February doldrums, right? Pitches and catches are finally in. It's like, nice to scratch a little bit of a sports itch this month.
Yeah, I always tell Kershaw, I'm not showing up when you're just playing catch with another catcher. I'll show up with the full squad.
Yeah, I'm with you. Next week is better than this week. That's no offense. But it's nice to see that Kenley Jensen looks so in shape. I'm fired up about that.
I guess, like, people may not realize this, Chuck. You went to Miami. You're an East Coast guy. How did you become a Dodger fan?
All right. So it goes, it's all due to my father, my late father. And my dad's Dodger origin story is fantastic. Old Dodger fans will love it. It has nothing to do with Brooklyn, even. My dad grew up in Iowa. He was a Dodger fan because, frankly, in the 50s, you were either a Dodger fan or a Yankee fan. And he didn't like Chicago, so he went to Cubs fan. His father was a Yankee fan, so he wanted to be a Dodger fan to give his father a hard time. And they're in Chicago on a family vacation. And my dad always told me this story, by the way, and I didn't believe him. And then my aunt, his sister, verified it to me independently. As a good journalist, you always want a second source. Anyway, they're staying at the hotel, the Drake Hotel. The Dodgers were staying there. Roy Campanella's eating his Wheaties. Eating breakfast. At this point, it's a year after his MVP season, and the whole thing in MVP years, you got to be on the cover of Wheaties if you won the MVP. Roy Campanella was on the Wheaties box. And so my dad is 6 or 7, and he goes, hey, how come you're not eating your Wheaties, right? My grandfather, told him, go up there and ask him, right? And anyway, the Dodgers lose that day to the Cubs. They see Campanella the next morning in the hotel eating breakfast again. And supposedly Campanella says to my dad, I'm going to eat my Wheaties this morning. We're not going to lose again. And from then on, my dad became a Dodger fan, all thanks to Roy Campanella. And he made me a Dodger fan. I grew up in Miami. We didn't have Major League Baseball, but we had Vero Beach, brother.
Yeah.
And that every spring break, my spring breaks for school were sometime in mid to late March. So it'd basically be the last week that they were on Florida side before they went to the, going to have the Angels series and the Freeway series and all that stuff before the season would start. And that was what we did every year, 78, 79, 80, 81. 81 being, and 82 being just, every minute of my Dodger Town experience I remember, since it was getting ready for a World Series team and then getting to all these autographs that I remember running after and all that stuff. So look, I was at the perfect age to go to Dodger Town. I'm sorry you guys have to hang out in Arizona.
Yeah.
I still think Vero Beach is a better place. I hope you got to do Dodger Town once before they went west.
I'm actually planning on, I've never been there, Chuck. That was one of my dreams to go there when the Dodgers were training there. The team has a day off in Tampa Bay, and I'm thinking about making the 3-hour drive just to go to Dodger Town to see the ghosts of the past that you're talking about.
It's a ghost town, unfortunately. I mean, they have tried to keep it better, and it's a bummer that it's better for Dodger fans on the West Coast to be where they are. I'm going to make it out to Arizona. I get it. But, man, Vero was something else. Dodger Town was something else. Every other team was jealous of it, by the way. They had their own golf course. Every player had, at the time, it was luxury that didn't exist for any other team.
Yeah.
That Dodger Town, now, of course, everybody's got great luxury. But back in the day, there was something special about it.
I'm curious if it ever came full circle for your father and for you, because even after Roy Campanella's tragic accident, he was a fixture at Dodger Town, and they actually had an area where he would be teaching guys like Yeager and Roseboro and Mike Socha. Did you ever run into Roy Campanella at Dodger Town?
I only saw him from afar. My best Dodger Town experiences were with Duke Schneider, Sandy Koufax, Fernando, and then a cursing Tommy Lasorda, which is perhaps my favorite story. We're there, and they're doing just fielding drills, and balls are going over that mat. There used to be there was no fences in that Dodgertown Stadium. There were just these little hills, and they're having this practice. And of course, there's a bunch of kids on the other side of the hill getting free baseballs. And Tommy is, I'm watching from the stands waiting for Tommy to come because they say he'll sign autographs after the practice is over. And Tommy is every four-letter word in the book. You bring those effing balls back here. Those are four effing dollars a pop. You're stealing Dodger property, right? All of those things. My mom is standing next to me going, oh, my God. Of course, practice is over. And Tommy is nothing but the greatest guy in the world. He's spending all this time with me and with every kid and couldn't have been, yes, sir. But I'll tell you, the good news is Tommy didn't teach me the four-letter words. I'd already learned them. But if I hadn't known them, Tommy would have taught them to me that day myself. But that's my most memorable experience was watching Tommy in the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I'm shocked Tommy would use those type of words, Chuck. I'm shocked.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Chuck Todd, moderator of Meet the Press and big Dodger fan, is our guest. Now, being on the East Coast, I'm sure you've had to suffer from some Boston Red Sox fans rubbing it in your face that they beat the Dodgers. How have you viewed, as a Dodger fan, how have you viewed them winning the division the last 6 years and getting to the World Series the last couple of years? Do you view it as a fan that it's everything or bust, or do you understand there has been some success over this course of time, even though they haven't been able to win the World Series?
So I'm in a weird spot on this because my son is now 12. I've made him a diehard baseball fan, but we're growing up out here in the East Coast. I'm in Washington, D.C. area, and Washington finally has baseball. So I've let my son be, I've not let him be a Redskins fan. That's not allowed, but I have let him be a Nationals fan. And the Dodgers are his second favorite team, and I've allowed that to happen. So what that has done, though, is he's experiencing more heartache than I am. So I can't sit here and act disappointed in making it to the World Series and losing when my poor son is watching the Nats take these tremendous teams and see them not even get out of the first round. But actually, it's a nice little reminder to me, and it should be a reminder to Dodger fans, that, you know what? Yes, getting to the World Series does still count for something. I'm glad to be winning division titles again. It stunk when we couldn't even get to the World Series, so I want to win one. By the way, my father died 3 weeks after the Dodgers beat the A's in 1988.
Wow.
We watched that World Series together in his hospital room. So it is both. I have this bittersweet aspect to the Dodgers winning another World Series. I have this tremendous personal memory of experiencing that last World Series with them. I hope he remembers it. I don't know. He was very sick at the time. I don't know, but I'd like to think he does. There's certainly everything about it for me. But there's part of me that's like, once the Dodgers win a new World Series, we have a new memory. And so it's always been bittersweet, but I'm more than ready. I'm with every other Dodger fan. I want to figure out how we get out of this. I still view it as but for one bad break, we could have still won that World Series. We're not as far away as it looks. I actually think the Dodgers are closer than the Yankees to the Red Sox. So that, I think, is a helpful thing. So, look, I'm tired of Boston winning everything.
Yes.
Everybody else is, but
yes.
I have some, like, I can't sit here and be downtrodden about it because I'm watching the poor Nats. They've had more heartache than the Dodgers, that's for sure.
Chuck Todd is our guest from Washington, D.C. His son's a Nats fan. He's still a Dodger fan. And you can give us really good perspective, Chuck, on the whole Bryce Harper saga. Everybody in L.A., well, I shouldn't say everybody. I think it's split 50-50 on whether or not fans wanted the Dodgers to sign Harper. You get to see Harper play more than we do. What's your feelings on him as a player? Do you think he's a franchise-changing type of player?
Well, I think he wants to be. I think the Nats haven't let him. I think that he could be. I think the Dodgers made the right call in not putting all that money on him. We don't need another left-handed bat. But, man, the guy's an ultra competitor. He does want to be on the West Coast. I don't want to – my son and I are having this argument. Is it worse to see Harper in a Phillies uniform or a Giants uniform?
Oh.
He's like, he'd rather see him in a Giants uniform so he doesn't have to see Harper more than six times a year. And I'm sitting here going, please, Bryce, go to San Diego. You should go to San Diego and here. And look, I think it's clear personally he wants to be on the West Coast. He wanted to be a Dodger, but I also think he wants to win a World Series. I do think he's very competitive with Mike Trout, by the way, for what it's worth. Mm-hmm. I think that's who he measures himself against. So I do think he wanted to be a Dodger more than the Dodgers wanted him. And I get that. I wish that it fit, but there is I would actually, as a Dodger fan, of looking at what does it take for the Dodgers to beat the Red Sox, the missing piece isn't Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it were, but it's not. And so, look, I think I can't believe I'm saying this. It's sacrilege in my house to even say this. I think the place he could have the biggest impact is with the Yankees. I am stunned the Yankees aren't making a bigger run at him. I think that guy was destined to be a Yankee. He wants to be a Yankee. He has sort of a bit of that cockiness that is perfect for New York City. He'll be easy to root against if you don't like the Yankees, but he's got a Reggie Jackson-like flair to him. There's part of me as a fan that would love to see Harper in those pinstripes. Just for Harper. Look, I think the guy gets a bum rap. He works. He'll outwork anybody. I hope he would. I'd like to see DC keep him, but the Nats are arguably more in a better position to have longer term success as a franchise if they don't sign him. So, you know, I think it depends where he fits. I think he fits well in Philly. I think he fits well with the Giants, and that's what really petrifies me. Like, I got to watch Bryce Harper hit game-winning home runs against the Dodgers. And I don't want to see that. That's the part of me I don't want to see. I'd rather see him in a Phillies uniform than a Giants uniform.
I think your son is going to be surprised. I think he stays with the Nats.
You know, it'd be a pleasant surprise. And if they do, it means the hottest free agent, one of the hotter underrated free agents of next year will be Anthony Rendon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the Nats are in this weird position. If they sign Harper, it means they can't sign Rendon. And the question you have in today's baseball, is it better to have a corner infielder of Rendon's talent than a corner outfielder of Harper's talent?
Right. You're echoing everything that I said. The fans don't believe me that there was a debate in Washington, D.C. on who would you give the money to, Rendon or Harper, and you're validating all of that for me right now.
Look, Victor Robles is this kid that they have. He's basically Alex Verdugo, okay? Meaning that kind of hype behind him, to put it in Dodger terms.
Yeah.
And you sit here and you're like, well, if you've got Verdugo or you got a Verdugo-like figure in your team, in this case it's this kid Victor Robles, well, financially you're better off investing in him than you are in all that money in Harper. Frankly, you're better off investing money in Corbin, right? For a 6 year, if that's what it takes to get them, then it is spending that money on Harper. So, and I think Rendon is watching Rendon. I mean, I sit here and I'm like, the two most underrated third basemen in Major League Baseball are on my two favorite teams, Justin Turner and Anthony Rendon. These guys just hit the ball when everybody else is slumping, they're always hitting, and they make great plays. You know, they're great fielders.
Chuck Todd, I could talk baseball with you all day long, but I know your time is limited, and I love that you're a Justin Turner fan, that he's ginger, and you're a borderline ginger type of guy. So
that's exactly why. That's part of me. It just shows you that, you know, us weird-looking high school kids could have pulled it off, too, you know?
Hey, but Justin Turner has not been on Saturday Night Live, made a parody of that, like you have.
Not yet, but, you know, he's got parody skill. He'd be easy to copy. So if the Dodgers win their World Series, isn't Justin Turner going to be late night's favorite guy?
He's got to be.
Clayton.
Yeah.
Right?
He's got to keep that beard, though.
He's got all the personality. Yeah, him and Muncy. I feel like those two guys are give the Dodgers some grit. I just love it. Those two guys.
You're right on, Chuck. You're right on. And love having you on the show. We'll do it again. Hopefully we see you in D.C. And your good friend, Charlie Steiner, wanted me to give you a public hello for him.
Well, it's there's nothing like falling asleep to Charlie Steiner's voice, as I do pretty much from April 15th to October 1st.
Wow.
When he's, because I always make sure, I always listen to his call.
Well,
when I can. So.
That's awesome, Chuck. And you could follow Chuck on Twitter at Chuck Todd. He does mix in Dodger tweets with his political stuff, so appreciate it. And you are the fairest man that I've seen in that world. And you've validated me as far as the baseball side of things, so I like you even more. So thank you for coming on.
Much appreciated. It's sadly a low bar in my industry these days, but that's all right. We'll get better, I promise.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.
There he is, Chuck Todd, the moderator of Meet the Press. And wow, I think he sold all of us that this guy is a true blue Dodger fan. He knew his stuff inside and out. I mean, he made an analogy to Alex Verdugo from one of the young players with the Washington Nationals, Victor Robles. I mean, what's baseball about? It was passed down to me from my dad and my uncles, and that's why I'm a baseball fan and a basketball fan and a sports fan. And to hear his stories about his father dying right around the 1988 World Series. I mean, that's stuff that's really personal and special, and appreciate him sharing that stuff with us. So, Chuck Todd,